Welcome to the Hostile Zone.
Use your voice, somebody hears you.
Welcome to the Hostile Zone. You're with the infamous and dangerous and always in your face, pulling back that curtain, calling a spade, Eric Andrew Sinati, Eric A. Sinati with a real big A. Eric Sinati coming at you. You're a humble correspondent here to provide you facts, knowledge, what I know, no holds barred, calling a spade a spade. Kicker. We are also, Miss Bianca C. is not here again, but we still are graced with some of her music, as always. And I believe she should be back in show with us on a regular basis within the next week, maybe even less. So anyway, folks, if you are watching the show, on the ticker below on the screen, all of the contact information, The Hostile Zone at bbstalkradio.com, The Hostile Zone at bbstalkradio.com, Eric at The Hostile Zone, Eric at The Hostile Zone.com, or Bianca C, S-E-A. Bianca C at bbstalkradio.com or Bianca C, S-E-A, like the ocean, at thehostilezone.com. So here we are another day, folks. Again, I got to say thank you because I enjoy this, and I enjoy it because I know that people are enjoying the show and the content, and they're getting good information, and that is what really I like to do. So we're going to move into the show today. Today, we're going to talk a little. Most recently, we were talking a lot about national security and intelligence stuff and things that are going on. And there is plenty to talk about. But I wanted to go with something a little more social worldwide, meaning like an issue that affects everybody, affects people that don't even know it's affecting them. I think it's a good show. So basically, we're going to talk about something that actually impacts us all, the effect of social media on mental health. That's a very, very good topic. Social media and mental health. We will be exploring the provocative question, has the pursuit of likes, shares, and followers driven us into a mental health crisis? Are we in a mental health crisis? I mean, you do see these meltdowns on social media. We're talking from TikTok to Instagram to Facebook. Everybody is constantly seeking validation online for people they actually probably don't even know. But in this digital race for approval, are we quietly eroding our self-esteem? Or is that just like a sand dune on the beach where it just slowly washes away sand and there's no more? Is that what is happening to us? In this digital race, we're always looking for some kind of approval. And is it destroying our self-esteem? Is it fueling anxiety? Is it even leading to depression? I say yes, 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 right? That's what I think. I think that everything in life in moderation is okay. But I think that you need to be cognizant of what potential damages you might be doing to yourself or potentially other people. So it's a very interesting show, I think. I think it's going to go well. We live in an era where attention is like currency. Literally, attention online is like, it's like a drug almost. Honestly, it's like an adrenaline rush, a dopamine rush. People are literally, this is their hot. People don't even leave their house. It's insane. It has become currency. And it's like taking a hit of dopamine, like I just said. They're literally getting all of their mental faculties and all their stimulation is all occurring in a virtual world, you know? So what happens when somebody doesn't get a like? They don't get a share. I mean, what happens if people get too much? What will happen? Where do we go? The psychological toll is real. There is correlations to people committing suicide and committing crimes online, for people to see. Criminals that are on the run from law enforcement and they are posting their entire trip on Facebook with the geolocator on, their location services, tagging where they are. I mean, there's countless people that have been arrested and have been caught, fugitives. Some fugitives that have been missing for years and they found them because of a stupid social media post. So you have to ask yourself, is it really good? Or are we heading down a bad road? Hey, Carrie, what do you think? I mean, is this, do you see this as something that's going to be a problem?
I think it's a problem. I think it's going to be a bigger problem. And I don't know what the solution is to fix it, because the more everybody works with uses social media, the kids are picking up on it and they're starting earlier.
Right.
Kids at under 10 years old that have phones so that they can do Facebook and all that kind of stuff, that's for the birds, I think.
Yeah, I mean, you know, and here's the interesting point. That was a very good point. Thank you. And I'm going to respond to that, and I want your feedback, because I think it's good feedback. Here's the thing, though. You have to, at the same time, know that we are moving into an AI automated world. Everything's computerized. Everything is automated. So where is the fine line between teaching your son or daughter, and you know, how to use these devices and how to use it? And where's the line to when it becomes unhealthy? Because I don't want a child to go into school first grade and everybody else is able to do stuff, you know, and there's nothing worse than that. That could literally, you think about this, and I want you to chime in on this. Think about how kids get easily alienated as it is. Can you imagine being your first day in kindergarten or first grade or whatever, and you're the only one that doesn't have a phone and doesn't know how to use one? Then you're going to immediately be ostracized by all the other kids. Do you agree?
In some respects, yes. But for the overall part, no. Because parents shouldn't be given kids that small that much leeway on anything, because you never know what they're going to be seeing, what they're going to be doing, who's talking to them, who's trolling them.
Right. That could be a great episode.
I think it would be far better if my kindergartner walked in and said, "Hey, do you know your ABCs? Hey, do you know how to read this book? Hey, do you know how to do math?" That to me is far more important than whether or not you can click the buttons on a phone.
Now, let me ask you a question, Gary. We're generationally different. What in your generation did you experience? Because there was major tech booms between the two of our generations. You know what I mean? Did you experience something like this, and we're making a big deal of it, and you look back and say, "Well, we got through it." You know what I'm saying? Am I saying that right? You know what I mean? Like, people are like, "Oh my God, the world is going to change." Like, remember, I read in school, and this would be your generation, like the 60s, whatever, right? So the music, "Oh, it's rotting your brain," right? Everybody said that right back then, but really, we look back, it really didn't.
Well, as I listen to my music these days, which is the same thing I listened to in the 60s.
What was it? What do you listen to?
The Beatles, Elvis.
Oh, love the Beatles, and oh my God, good stuff there.
Yeah, I mean,
what's your favorite Beatles song?
Let It Be.
Me too. And Hey Jude.
Yeah, not really. Like, I mean, I listened to Hey Jude, but it's not.
Hey Jude was over a girlfriend in high school. That's the only reason I like the song. She played it over and over again. No, but I really do. I like the Beatles, and you know, there's so much interesting stuff. We could do a whole show on that. You ever notice in the Abbey Road when they're walking in the crosswalk? There's a significant thing with the shoes.
Yeah, Paul McCartney is barefoot.
Right. You know, and they say if you play the record backwards, it actually admits that they replaced him with somebody else and nobody knew, like a lookalike. Did you hear that rumor?
Oh, no, it didn't.
But I mean, heard that rumor, though. Like, and it would say, "Oh, McCartney's dead," in the back, and like if you played it background or whatever. I don't know.
That's the same thing.
I'm not starting a conspiracy theory show.
That's the same thing as they say Elvis is still alive.
You know what? Hey, a lot of people are still alive that we think are dead. That is, just ask the U.S. Marshal Service. Anyway, so you, in your generation, this was a thing, and it never really hurt anybody. At the same time, you still have to look at it and say, could this be damaging? And I just question that, and that's why I wanted your thoughts on that. You know, because the psychological toll is definitely real. Definitely real. It's made headlines. Do you remember, Carrie, when somebody, it was a girl, told a guy to commit suicide? You remember that in high school? And she ended up getting charged criminally?
You mean a thing in the news about it?
Yeah, it was a while back. Matter of fact, I'm going to pull it up. I'm going to tell you right now, because I got this handy dandy little computer here in front of me. And I'm going to tell you what it is, because this is an interesting topic. Basically, the girl had, like, you know, power over the high school kid, And she literally told him that he should kill himself, but she kept pushing him to do it, and he did it. It's insane.
It's very insane, and I think there's too much of that kind of stuff happening.
Yep.
I also think that one of the main things that all of these computers and, you know, apps and phones and all that stuff has made the social engagement of kids non-existent.
Yes. You're going to this place, and everybody's got their phone in their face at a table, and they're texting the person across the way from them. All right, I got the case here. I pulled it up on my database. The story I'm referring to was about Michelle Carter, a high-profile case in Massachusetts in 2017. Michelle Carter was convicted of involuntary manslaughter for encouraging her boyfriend, Conrad Roy, to commit suicide through text messages and phone calls in 2017. The case drew widespread media attention because it involved the use of digital communications, and it was the first setting a legal precedent on this particular case. It's the first time somebody, it was done, this was a first of this type. She basically told him to commit suicide, and they charged her with it, and she was found guilty. So,
as she should have been.
As she should, right? But then I got to throw my lawyer hat on. If you look at the U.S. Constitution, she does have a right to free speech. You had an advanced copy of my book, and you see how I broke it down, and I actually talk about the First Amendment and the Supreme Court case that actually came out after. Did you finish reading my book, Carrie? I'm going to call you out right on the air. You didn't read it, did you?
No, I didn't.
You think kind of executive producer. I'll wait till the PR people hear this.
I've been busy trying to make commercials.
Well, Dr. Stein's going to be all over you for screwing up our PR. No, but honestly, though, it's a good book. It's coming out where it's finalized. Everything is done. I have the second book we're going to be doing. I had one book as the children's book, and one is, you know, the book on the Constitution. And the children's book, is done and it's ready to go. We may actually make a series out of that. What was the series name? You're the one that told me. What was that series where about, like, what my book would be in the modern time? Remember you told me yesterday?
Andrew's Life, or The Steps of Andrew's Life, or The Happenings of Andrew's Life, something like that.
Right. And it's and that was what year? A long time ago, right?
What do you mean a long time ago? I thought you were talking about recent.
No. I mean, like, my book is Anthony Goes to Get is this one is Anthony Goes to Court.
Oh, you're talking about Andy Hardy.
Is that what it was?
Yes, yeah. The Andy Hardy series.
And there's nothing like that. So the publisher, you know, I got a separate agent for my books and other ones for on air. And the book people are just like enthralled about the idea. Anyway, let's get back to the topic here. So relevant quote of the day to start the show. Information is the most dangerous weapon. And in the wrong hands, it can dismantle minds like your brain faster than any bullet. Information is the most dangerous weapon. And in the wrong hands, it can dismantle minds faster than any bullet. Unknown quote. It comes directly from intelligence and military training stuff. This quote serves as a reminder that what we consume online has a direct impact on our mental state, shaping our thoughts and emotions, and ultimately the perception of what reality is. Now, everybody has a different perception of reality. And then we could talk about the red pill and whatever, the matrix, all that stuff, whatever. But everybody, we said this yesterday too, when we were talking about the telephone game and people, how misinformation starts up because people change the words based on their perception of it. They didn't do it on purpose. So it's a good quote. So with that, we're going to take a short break. Don't go anywhere, folks. Don't make me come looking for you.
My galaxy is the home of the most epic story ever told. But then I found the cornerstone, and everything changed.
Listen up, Sig. There's only one way to say this. You messed up. You blew it. You goofed.
Jedi Pop, that's like three different ways.
When you removed the cornerstone, you created a new galaxy. Every person and every world will be different.
We've got to make everything go back to the way it was, because nothing makes sense.
It's a trap! It's a trap!
It's a trap!
It's a trap! It's a trap.
I know who can help us. The greatest hero of all time, Luke Skywalker.
let me see if I have this right. In your galaxy, my dad is mostly evil until he turns good for like 5 minutes and then dies. My own nephew betrays me and kills most of my best friends. And I spend decades alone until I use the Force so hard that it kills me?
Well, when he puts it that way...
that is no escape.
What in the...
Excuse me!
Darth Jar Jar? Ridiculous.
Oh, time to go!
X-Wing TIE Fighters?
Ewok Bounty Hunters?
You spend your life telling stories about heroes? Maybe it's time to be one.
Woohoo! Yeah!
This party's just getting started.
We're losing power! We're gonna crash!
Scary.
The Force will guide us.
It will?
Here's hoping!
Ah! Oh, come on!
Hey, it's Eric A. Sinati, host of two syndicated talk shows on iHeartRadio. When I need a sharp look, I head to Quick Cuts. Susan, the owner, always nails it perfect every time. Mention Eric sent you, she'll give you a special deal. Call 910-371-5510 to book now.
Welcome back, folks. Welcome back. So, let's get into unpacking some of the talking points on this whole concept, because there is, it, you could go on, we could do a series of several episodes of mental health issues and social media. But we're going to try to just unpack it in today's show. The dopamine effect of social media. That's what they're calling it, the dopamine effect. Studies show that the brain reacts to social media likes and shares the same way it does to dopamine-driven activities, like eating and gambling. Can you believe that? Gambling, Carrie. They're actually equating this to gambling. It's an addiction. I mean, there are people that freak out if they don't have their phone. Now, I mean, we all would, because like losing your wallet, I guess, but people freak out because they can't use it. Are you on your phone all day long?
No, in fact, I'm not on it hardly at all. When
I noticed, because you don't respond to my text.
Yeah, well, you know what?
I'm up all night. Anyway, so yeah, it is something. I mean, gambling, that's an obsession, and you're always reaching for something that chances are you're not going to get, or you did get once and you got it out of luck. And you're trying to re-get it again, it's not going to happen. Nothing is ever easy.
Isn't that the same thing they're trying to do, though, with all of the likes and the praise and all of that crap that they're getting from social media?
Yes, yes. It's exactly it. I mean, and they're literally, I mean, think about some people, this is their whole life, Carrie. This is their whole life. Their whole life, they don't leave. I mean, there are kids that never leave their gaming console. You know what I mean? And they post something and they're checking every 20 seconds to see how many people looked at it. But they're like, oh my God, 100 people looked at it. It's like, if you do a Facebook story, it tells you how many people viewed it. And then you're saying, well, if I got 100 people viewed it, but I only got 3 likes, what happened to the other 97 people? You and I don't really care about those people. I call them bots and trolls. I don't really care what they say about me online. I know who I am. I know what I have and what I do. And, you know, I don't really care. And I know you don't either, but these younger people do. And they're literally devastated when they don't get a response, or even worse, when somebody says something disgustingly heinous about them. Like we were saying yesterday, destroying somebody's character. And then, you know, you got revenge porn now. You heard of revenge porn, right, Carrie?
Oh, yes.
And there's been some cases that went to court on that one. Terrible stuff. Terrible stuff. Terrible stuff. I kind of found it interesting that they compared this to gambling and eating. I guess eating and gambling, I guess, because people eat when they're upset or whatever, I guess.
Food is the thing that you go to eating habits.
Comfort food, right? Comfort food, right? That's what they call it.
Food is one of the worst drugs there is in this world because you can be addicted to it and there ain't nothing you can do about it.
There's nothing you can do about it, no. And you know what? And some people are actually genetically set up to be that way. And our society is so rough on people about their weight. And there are people who just, they're never going, you can't, you know what I mean? So I totally understand. And I think it's terrible to body shame somebody. I would never stand for that. I've stood up for people in public before with that. You know, mind your business. You know, I go out and I see people wearing outfits that are very revealing. That's their choice. It's in the evening. It's adults, right? And some people may not have the best body style for whatever it is they're wearing. But good for you, I say. If that's you're happy in that and you're comfortable with yourself to wear something that's revealing and you don't have, you know, the Barbie body, good for you, right? I mean, I got no problem with that. I really don't. I think the people that are placing too much emphasis on other people's opinion. And that's, you know, that's just my opinion on that. And you know what? They're saying the anticipation of waiting for the notifications of likes and shares. They're holding this phone and it's like the anticipation. It's like the thrill of the hunt, you know? And what happens, their brain shoots up with all kinds of endorphins and stuff, adrenaline, getting excited. And that does create psychological problems. According to a study published in Psychological Reports, a frequently used social media triggers the brain's reward center, same as it would to a substance addiction, because their brain is releasing dopamine and all these things that also get released when you take certain drugs. I mean, it's like crazy, but it's true. You know, your body secretes hormones and these things to help you in a, you know, build up fight or flight. You know, you're going to fight the person or you're going to run. But when that happens, your body's building up with adrenaline going in your head. It's kind of a problem with the military, because that's actually what helps make PTSD, because the brain is continuously flooded with norepinephrine and adrenaline and all that, and their heightened sense of everything. And then when that's going on for such a long period of time, then when you try to adjust to a regular life, not in a combat role, or for these kids in the gaming role and the social media role, where they're getting that constant high, they, just like the soldier with PTSD, has a hard time integrating and socializing with other people. Would you agree, Karen? Karen?
I still can't find the button. Oh.
You did hear what I said, though, right?
Well, I forgot the whole time I was looking for the button.
You are too funny. No, but really, like, I actually equated it to PTSD with soldiers, because it's the same thing, sort of. The same, but I mean, it's the brush of the brain becoming addicted to the high of all these things.
Oh, yeah. Okay. I agree with that.
And that's what actually creates PTSD. It's the heightened sense of urgency and awareness and all that an operator in military and intelligence, et cetera, need to have to do the job. But then when we come back into the regular society somewhere, very hard to turn that off. And that's how we have more than 24 veterans commit suicide every day. And the numbers are similar to social media. So I think it's an interesting topic. I segued right into body image, which is what we just talked about. So we're going to take a short break. We're going to come back and discuss about how your words online actually affect others. You should think twice. Don't go anywhere. Don't make Sonati come looking for you.
Covenless Witch.
It's been Agatha all along.
No.
What really happened to you?
Seekest thou the road to all that's foul and fair?
She took every little bit of power I had.
Gather sisters fire.
I'm assembling a coven.
We gotta get back on top. I'm gonna walk the road. Join me.
Darkest hour, wake thy power, earthly and divine.
The witch's road will give you the thing you want most, if you make it to the end.
The road is a death wish.
Heard you guys were having a party.
So,
hey. Shall we?
It will test us and our knowledge of the craft.
We don't even know what we're up against.
Our worst nightmares.
How do we pass this trial without any power?
We survive like witches have been doing for centuries.
Maiden mother crone.
What happens next?
I just need these witches to get me to the end.
The bodies are really piling up.
Why do you let them believe those things about you?
Because the truth is too awful.
I want my prize!
Time to finish the road.
Last one there is a nice person.
Follow me, my friend, to glory at the end.
Welcome back. Thank you very much. So we were discussing social media, all types, and the correlation to mental health and where it may take us down the line. Platforms such as Instagram have been criticized for promoting unrealistic beauty standards, leading to feelings of inadequacy. This is very true. This is very, very true. If you go on Instagram, Facebook, any of these, they're promoting like body images that are not reality, because you're using tools to edit. I remember dating people, and I would go to meet somebody, and they would know nothing like a picture I saw, because they used all these programs to take that. And then girls know all the angle to hold the camera on a certain angle so you don't see. It's just craziness. It's just craziness. And people don't look like that. I mean, you know, it's not reality. And it makes people think that they need to look like that. And that's how we create, besides all the mental health stuff, you also get people with bulimia and whatever. I mean, what say you, Carrie?
I think it's just like the angles of the camera and everything.
Yes.
Or exactly. The reality TV.
Right. I mean, reality, you got a lot of years making movies, so you know about this. Explain that.
Well, yeah, but that's fun. You pretend. And that's what I'm saying.
For you, you're the expert here. Explain to me how the angle of the camera, what are these girls doing? Because you go and see them and they don't look anything like what they posted. What are they doing?
The way they stand, the way they turn their head, the camera angles, whether they're up or down, and the amount of light it gets, right. You know, if you flood somebody with light, you can't see imperfections.
Right.
I did
right.
it.
And I remember, I'm sorry, Carrie, keep going.
No, I was going to say, I did a interview with Shirley MacLaine once, and she was adamant about the lighting. Because she's older, she didn't want to show her age. Right. And when you look at her, you don't know how old she is. And that's why.
You can tell that now with all the cosmetic work too, right? I mean.
She still uses light.
Right. Oh, yeah.
Oh, boy.
That's funny.
In your face!
But you know what's funny, though, Gary, is, you know, people still fall for it, though. They fall for it and really think that they got some golden prize here. And all of the companies that are paying influencers to do this stuff, they're part of the problem, too. You know, I don't know. It's a tough thing. But I hear you're about to say something. What were you going to say?
I was going to say.
And I can see you on my other screen over here. So
the influencers are doing the same way. I mean, if you this is just a for instance. There's a certain TV station.
Yeah, let's not get in trouble.
That I'm not going to name because it's inconsequential. But every single female looks the same. It's like a carbon copy. One show to the next, to the next, to the next. There's no variety. How can
would
you
this be a show? Would this be a station that I might have been on at one time, a show?
I don't think so.
Okay. Because I was thinking what it might be.
No.
Shout out to Jersey Shore.
It was one I used to work for.
Oh, yeah. Don't say that. Well, now we have big things going. So, but you got a lot of experience. That's why I thought it was good, because girls hold the cameras, just their phone. And it really makes a huge difference. And it's really shocking because guys, we don't really pay attention to that stuff for ourselves, at least, you know, I don't, I guess maybe I have it sometimes, but you know, everybody wants their best size, but I'm never shaving stuff down or bulking anything up, you know? So it's not reality. I mean, it's just craziness. So this study further says 40% of teenagers have reported feeling worse about their body image after spending time on social media. And this was done by the Royal Society of Public Health. And 40%, that is a significant number. And if it's 40%, that actually owned up to it in the study, and we're probably talking over 50%. Would you concur on that?
Absolutely.
You know what I mean? Like everybody, you know, not everybody's going to tell that. So 40% admits it. You know, it's got to be 50 or 60% of the population. And everybody at some point in their life always felt inferior to somebody else. Have we not all?
Yes.
We all have. There's always somebody out there that you might be a little intimidated by or whatever. And that's okay, because that person has somebody that they're intimidated by. So nobody is king. You know, it's Jesus Christ, maybe, right? But otherwise, everybody is not perfect. We're imperfect. That is what's great about the human race. We are imperfect creatures with distinct differences between us. Yet we come together as one. Wow, that was my kumbaya moment. Make sure when you edit later, you put a little kumbaya music in for that one. So another study found a link between high social media use and increased rates of anxiety, depression, and loneliness. Again, mental health stuff, but now we're not talking about like a drug rush or like gambling. Now we're talking about anxiety, depression, and loneliness. People die, literally, of a broken heart. You know that is actually physically possible. Did you know that, guy?
Do you know who Debbie Reynolds is?
Who?
Debbie Reynolds.
It rings a bell.
Well, she's an actress from back in the 50s, 60s, 70s, but she is also...
Any relation to Burt Reynolds?
No.
I was a big fan of him.
She is Carrie Fisher's mother.
Oh, yes. Okay. I know who you're talking about. I knew it. Okay.
You know, Carrie Fisher had a medical emergency and died on a plane. And within 24 hours, Debbie Reynolds died from a broken heart because she lost her daughter.
Yep.
So it's very true.
Yes, it's scientifically proven. People die of loneliness. I can't imagine what it must be like to really be that alone. I mean, it's a terrible thing. It's a terrible thing. You know, with that, folks, I'm going to say go to the Hostile Zone BBS website. Sign up for a premium subscription to the show because we make donations. And this is something that is very serious, and this is something I'd like to explore, and we do good things with it. So please go over, and it's like $2.99. There's a couple packages, but you get a lot of stuff And you'll get an autographed copy of my book, even though Carrie didn't read it. I'm not going to autograph it for you now, actually, since you didn't read it. But anyway, I'm just messing with you.
Yep.
So what it comes down to is the pressure of perfection. Now, I can get this. I understand this a little bit because being a Jersey guy, back in the day, it was called metrosexual. Have you ever heard that term, Carrie?
Yes.
No?
Yes.
Metrosexual,
Metro? Or
metrosexual. Let me pull that up on my handy little device here too.
It must have something to do with the big cities, huh?
It's about the Jersey, New York people, that guys that we actually exfoliate our face. We use cream. I get my hair done every day. You know what I mean? It's a guy that just pays really good attention to his hygiene and his appearance. It was kind of like a statement of like like you being like a girl. You know what I mean?
The guy's being like a girl.
Yes, but you're not. You're not into guys or anything, but you take care of yourself. You care about what you look like. You care about the way you dress, ironing your clothes, your face. I agree with
you.
Let's see if I get an official definition here.
You watch a lot of reality TV, right?
No, I've been on a few. So okay. Yes.
Do you know who Todd Chrisley is?
I do. He's in prison. He's in prison right now.
That's because he thought too much of himself.
And what's funny is he metrosexual or something else sexual? Maybe?
I don't know. I don't know, but he's married. He's got five kids.
That doesn't mean anything, right? So I got the definition of metrosexual. Metrosexual is typically defined as a man, especially living in an urban area, who is meticulous about his grooming, appearance, and fashion choices, often embracing aspects of style and lifestyle that were traditionally associated with being feminine. This term emerged in the late 90s to describe men who kept a keen interest on personal care, fashion trends, and it does not necessarily take away from masculine stereotype. So you're still considered a manly man, but you also took care of, you put together. People have put this image out there of perfection that is not really perfection. And this has been going on long before social media. I mean, you go back to the pinup girls, right? And the magazines. I mean, they airbrush all that stuff. I mean, you know that. I mean, Carrie, you've done a lot of movies in the years that you've been a part of. How many times do you know that there's, I don't say any actor's name, but they have something and you guys clean it out, right?
Oh, well, actually, a lot of the stuff that I did was with a lot more natural type stuff, and we used natural light, natural makeup and everything instead of worrying about that kind of thing.
Right. Now, I remember when High Def first came out and everybody was freaking out on news and stuff like that about being like how good you see their face, you know what I mean? And how much you see. I mean, I'm shocked when I watch my show. I'm like, wow, you can see everything.
That's what we see all the time, and we don't have a problem with it. So why do you have a problem with it?
That's what I'm saying, right? I mean, let's be truthful about it, right? The other thing that goes in is it does this perfection of the body, but also think about this. People place their best moments in life online, right? For everybody to see. But they filtered it and polished it, and they created an illusion or an image of what they wanted people to think, not what it is that they think. You know, there's an interesting concept in intelligence and national security. There are three personalities. Did you know that, Karen? Of everybody.
I'm a Gemini, so I know about two of them.
Oh, yeah, I'm not talking about that. When they do psychological profiles in, for security clearances and stuff like this, there are three personalities of every single human being. Folks, listen to this, because you know I'm going to be right. You're not going to admit to it, but you know I'm right. There are three personalities. We have our public persona. That's the one you're looking at right here on the screen. If you're watching or listening, that's my public persona. Then I have my personal life, which is my family and stuff like that. You know what the third is, Carrie? This is key. This is one that nobody thinks of.
Private.
Secret life. That is the true person. That's the things that all the weird idiosyncrasies that we think about and little weird things or fetishes and stuff, That is in your secret life. And you only let a very limited amount of people into your secret life. And there you bond. And that's how, in the intelligence community, people gain superior trust at levels and also can take advantage of it. But you're talking about people are coming in to know the darkest of you, and you know the darkest of them. And that's your secret life. Most people don't realize that. It's everybody has a secret life. Everybody does something behind closed doors that they don't want to tell anybody about, that they might be embarrassed about, or they feel is wrong. So in the intelligence community, we look at the three personality, and the secret life is the life you need to get into their head. So with that being said, it creates an image. So that's why I gave you the three lives, because people are looking at all this social media stuff, and that is their public life. And it's even filtered. At least regular public life is not filtered. Like here on this show, you're the executive producer. You don't edit me and change my face or anything. I mean, there's lights and stuff, but there's nothing altering what I look like for you. If you were to see me in person, I'm going to look the same as this. Unlike what's going on with social media, people are using all these filters and stuff. It's just insane. And I think the younger the kids are, the more they actually believe this stuff. You ever watch that show Catfish?
Uh-oh, did you say something to me?
I said, Catfish. Have you ever seen the show Catfish?
Oh, I know what you're talking about, but I've never watched it.
Yeah, it's like where people put up fake pictures in and they're not really there. And I think, you know what, the honest truth of that is, and I've seen a couple episodes. I don't personally like it, but I did review a few for academic purposes to discuss it in a training I did. And what I find interesting is that these people are just literally changing everything. It's just there is no, the line is gone. The line of reality and what's real and what's not is gone, and it's diminishing, and it's gonna diminish further. Because people are putting their best moments online and they're making them sound even better. And you actually find out that they don't, it's fake. And some of them are now even all AI garbage back, you know, and virtual screen backgrounds and stuff like that. It's pretty crazy. All right, folks, we're going to take a short break. Don't go anywhere. All right. Always feel good about yourself. Sonata hears you. What do you think?
I like it. I just didn't hear what you said because Cardi came in and said hi to me.
Oh, don't worry. Don't worry. All good. We're doing good on the time here. We can run over the hour a little bit. They don't care.
But we still want to have time to put commercials in here.
Yeah, of course. But I mean, they'll let me run this for like an so the, it won't matter.
Okay.
And don't forget, I don't even care what they do with the FM. The key is I'm syndicating it on iHeart after anyway. So
okay.
Even though it goes out on all the FM stations, it's going to syndicate what we do for the whole time on iTunes within 30 minutes of it airing. So that's the key. All right. So I am ready to, let's see this kind of first week. Okay. I'm ready to count me. Let me get a sip of water and count me in.
Okay. 3, 2, 1.
Welcome back, folks. Welcome back. Thank you for sticking to me and the Hostile Zone. Coming at you right here, iHeartRadio. So we were talking about social media here and all of the three personalities. You're not muted. The three personality types. And, you know, it's good stuff. Keep it in mind because this is true. But people are constantly comparing themselves to somebody else. And this has been going on even before social media. But realistically, I mean, there's nothing wrong. Can you help me here on this one? There's nothing wrong with modeling after somebody or wanting to emulate somebody, right? I mean, everybody has like a hero or somebody that they look up to, right? I think that is not a bad thing. As long as you're looking at the right person.
It's good to have somebody to look up to emulate, but you don't have to try to be exactly them.
Right.
Or change right. your appearance to make yourself look like them.
Right. Right. Exactly. Exactly. But I mean, if, you know, I go to the gym and, you know, I always used to look up to Hulk Hogan, Sylvester Stallone, shout out Sly. I'll be up north. Catch you. I probably might be in Philly soon for something. May catch you. But I looked up to these people and, you know, and their ability on screen, but also their physique and the way they presented themselves. That's a manly man. So that was not an unhealthy thing because I started working out and trying to be like Hulk Hogan and all that stuff. I don't think there's anything wrong with that because those were positive influences. But when you have, you don't even know who these influencers are on social media. You don't know anything about them. Do the people that are even paying them know who they are? I mean, they're not employees of a company. They're a 1099 contractor, independent contractor, if anything, or maybe a little business. I don't know, but they don't work for specifically whatever it is they're representing. So do the people really care what their background is? But as long as it sells, because, you know, and let's be real, sex sells, right? I mean, bodies exposed on TV sell things. You're clicking through YouTube or something, you know, that thumbnail and that image could be of a really attractive person. You're going to click it. So it's very tough. There is a fine line. It said 60% of social media users admit to feeling like they actually missed out on life experiences because they lived them through other people's posts. Is that insane, Karen? Is that absolutely insane? I mean, that just boggles me.
I can't believe if you had the time to sit there and see what somebody else is doing it, why aren't you doing it yourself?
Right. I mean, I don't know. I feel like I don't want to sound like the old guy, you know, but I mean, I played video games, but I went out. Video games were at night in the evening or when I was grounded and I was sneaking it or it was a rainy day. Because when it wasn't a rainy day, we were out playing wiffle ball, stick ball. You know what I'm saying? I mean, we did that. We played full tackle football with no protection after school. I mean, I remember cracking skulls with people. I mean, God forbid you did that now. But I rushed to get outside. But these people actually will not leave. And I mean, some of these people, I mean, people have died actually in game chairs that they haven't left in like weeks. And they stand up and they have like a stroke, an embolus. Is that insane? I mean, it's true.
It's very unbelievable that things like that do happen. We used to play like you did, you know, back in the day.
Manhunt, right? And you came home when the streetlights went on, right? Right? That was the rules,
well,
right?
Yeah, but then my dad put a streetlight in our backyard so that we could still play.
I figured my mom, here's the devious Eric speaking. I used to jump out the window and then stack garbage cans to climb back in. So when you said he put a light in your backyard, I just was thinking like me. He put it there because you were nice kids and he wanted you to play longer. My parents would have put it there to make sure I didn't sneak out because I did that quite often. But so it says 1 in 5 users feel pressure to post content that will get attention. They feel, I don't know why, they feel this pressure to do it. And they have this leading up of anxiety if they don't do it. So they're taking on, and tell me if you will bear with me and you let me know if you agree. This just seems to me very, very similar to just like, are you capable of being part of the community? Or are you like totally withdrawn? It just seems to me it's very, very hard to grasp. And that's why I'm glad that you're helping me out on this one, because this is a tough one to grasp. You think about feeling pressure. That is like an adult, me stressing a mortgage payment. You know what I'm saying? I'm taking on that in like adults. We have the anxiety of real things. You know, you and I have the anxiety of getting this show properly done and out without problems. So that's just normal adulthood. But our children are experiencing the stressors of adulthood before they get to adulthood just because of social media. You agree? What say you?
Yes, and I think that's unfair. Kids need to be kids, and you should relish that time with them because you 100%. Can't get it back and it goes too fast.
Yep. I worry because what are they going to do when the real ones that are really embedded in whatever generation you're calling them? Because they have all these names, Xennials, Millennials. I mean, I don't know who is what and what's what. I know that my group is the last group of people to experience hope in our youth. I remember not have. I mean, there was a computer, but it was like not like it is now. We had regular rotary phone. You know, go back. And then I'm not old. So, but I experienced life without a computer and how to do math without a calculator. And then we experienced the internet and all this stuff. It's just it's a change. And for at least my generation, and I think they're calling it like a Xennial. I think it's like the combo of the Gen Z and Gen X, whatever. We got to see what it was like to do things without AI, without a computer. And we also got to see what it is to do now with all of the technology. I mean, I had a beeper at one point. And the thing was to get the color beeper. You went in and changed the skin on the beeper. And it just progressed from there. So I hope, and that was kind of what I was saying before with you, Gary, is that I hope that we always are seeing it, you know, like it's going to become a bad thing. But when hindsight is 2020, right? You look back and say, it really wasn't that bad. And I'm hoping that this doesn't not lead to the next generation of kids that are going to go out and actually have to take care of us one day, or at least me, where you and I are a different generation. But are they going to work and contribute and pay tax? Because remember, we're living the freelance world now too, right? And everybody is making it was remote work, hybrid work, right? And then freelance. And honestly, making money yourself, I'm all for that. That is what America is. The streets are paved in gold. You can make it if you really, if you grind it in there, you just got to do it. Because who wants to hit a time clock, you know? And I just think that we may lose out too, because we do need people to do the 9-to-5 stuff. You do need that. So it's a very rough mix between the two. And the other part, and we are coming to a hard close on the show, and there's so much information I pulled on this, but cyberbullying, 37% of young people between the ages of 12 and 17 have admitted that they've been bullied. 37% online. So that's 37, like we said before, admitted. So 37% admitted it happened, probably more like 50% or more it really happened. They actually have a cyberbullying research center now. And it literally they are pumping money into studying this. And they're looking at the anxiety, the depression, and they're looking at people that go in and shoot up schools and go and do terrible things to people because of the way they were treated. Bullying is a very, very, very bad thing. And the other part that goes along with this is the fact that people are anonymous for the most part online. So they can be, they can exacerbate their behaviors. They can be whatever they want because it's online. It's garbage. Now, if you're the government, yeah, we'll find out who is an IP address and, you know, whether they're tunneling through a VPN or not, we're going to know who you are. It's not very hard, but if you're committing a crime, you know, and you need to be looked at. I'm not talking about mass surveillance. I'm just saying it is easy to track. But for the young people, they're not able to do that. So they don't even know who it is that's bullying them. And who knows what, if it's even a person. I mean, it's really terrible. And you know what? If you want to take it another step, and then I'm going to have to come to a close. I might have to do a second show because this is so interesting. But social media is ruining relationships. I mean, and it really, this is very clear because people that are married and or in very good relationships, they're not going to bars and clubs like they were when they were single. So they're not exposed like, they you get into your relationship and you do your relationship stuff. But if you had a social media account, which everybody does, you're always still in the single pool. Right, Carrie? You feel what I'm saying?
Yes, it's very hard to try to find somebody that's not in that single pool because, like you said, you don't know who's on the other end.
Right, you don't. And if you're in a happily great marriage, you're still subjected to whatever you see online and on social media. And it's too easy for an old girlfriend or boyfriend to reach out on Facebook or any of these, right? Or just any random person or a friend, so it's like causing temptation, it's like I see it as like Adam and Eve and the apple. Like social media is like the apple, because you're enticing somebody who otherwise would not have been ever thinking about doing something outside of their relationship. But this is the apple in the Garden of Eden. It's in their face 24/7. So that is definitely playing a role on relationships. Now, I also think the internet in general and social media plays a role in relationship because, and I say, don't believe everything you read and hear. I say it all the time because the fact is that girls, guys, whatever, when they meet somebody now, they go and try to do as much research on them as possible. And then they make a prejudgment of who the person is based on, bots and trolls and garbage that's on the internet. How about just meeting somebody and getting to know them? You don't need to do a background check and read all their social media stuff. Yes, you want to make sure if you're a woman or whatever, you want to make sure that they're not a psycho killer or anything. But I mean, to go scraping through their social media for 5 years is a whole other story. That it's just craziness. But anyway, so we're going to jump ahead here a little bit and get to here. Okay, so closing this out, because I have way too much information for this. We have to do a whole other episode to continue what I have here. But just to sum this up for everybody, social media has become, it's a part of life. It's just, that's it. It's not going anywhere. If anything, there's going to be more. It's offering both incredible opportunities, and it truly does offer credible opportunities because you get to reach and touch people that you would never have had access to otherwise. So it does do that, and it is great for the creative mind, great for the person that can dip into there, do what they got to do, and pull themselves out. It's when you fall in and you stay there. You have to remember, though, it does pose risks like anything. If you go out drinking, you're going to have a hangover the next day. There's risks. There are consequences. There are actions that are part of, just part of life. There's going to be a positive and I think it was Newton's law, a positive and a negative reaction for every action. So keep that in mind. I quoted Newton. Remember that, Carrie. That's a good one. All right. Did you like that? Now let's do a little Newton in it. Not the fake Newton. Oh, it's not a fig Newton. I do enjoy a fig Newton every now and again. But talking about Newton's law, laws there. Okay, so anyway, bringing this back in together here. It's a tool. It could be used for positive. But like anything, you have to have respect for it. It's like a firearm. You have to have respect for a firearm. You have to assume it's always loaded. And you have to treat it as if it's loaded at all times for your safety and the safety of others. Social media is the same thing. You can use it but you have to know the power and danger it can cause, and you have to use it appropriately. What say you, Gary?
I totally agree. Use it when you need to, or you know, use it for fun, but don't use it as life.
Exactly. Exactly. I mean, like, I go through and I look and I get stuff from there. Of course, we all do. But then you got to go and you got to make sure that what it is that you found is actually something. So, call to action. Let's all take a moment and reflect on our lives and how social media is impacting us. That is your Sanati's call to action. I want you at home, everybody, and you too, Gary, all of us. How much time are we investing in social media? And has it jaded us or influenced our opinions on anything? And that's a good topic to think about because we have elections coming up. And we did a whole episode on misinformation and disinformation. This is that spot. So always, folks, 360 forward. I'm sorry, 180 forward, 180 backward, 360. Your head on a swivel. 365 days a year. Because danger doesn't take a break, neither should you. So with that, I always have to thank Miss Bianca C, who is not here, but she's going to lend her wonderful vocals to us, her angelic vocals with the honor, pride, and glory with the national anthem. So special thank you to her. Always a big thank you to Carrie, my executive producer with Seabrook Films. Thank you very much. You are a wonderful addition to our team. And we are very much looking forward to that. Closing quote. In the shadows, control lies not in who watches, but who influences what is seen. In the shadows, control lies not in who watches, but who influences what is actually seen. That is an anonymous intelligence operative's quote. Nobody knows who it is. It's in one of the training manuals. This reminds us of those who manipulate the flow of information online hold a tremendous amount of power over our thoughts, our emotions, and the actions of everybody. That is the closing. Now, Carrie, you ready for a joke of the day?
Sure.
Okay. We have. Why don't social media influencers ever play hide and seek? Why is that?
Because they would have to show themselves eventually.
Because good luck hiding when they post their location every 5 minutes.
Oh.
In your face.
Anyway, folks, thank you very much for coming out. Check us out tomorrow night. Go ahead and Google The Hostile Zone. You're going to find us on every single platform. You're going to find us on Roku, Apple TV, and Apple Plus, also on Amazon Fire, whatever, some cable providers. And if we're not on your cable provider, call them and ask for it. Demand it. Okay. Thank you for being at the show. If you need to reach out, you got the numbers and the emails, thehostilezone@bbstalkradio.com or eric@thehostilezone.com. Thank you again. Have a safe night. See you tomorrow night, folks. Let's take it off to Miss Bianca with honor, pride, and glory.
Oh, say can you see by the dawn's early light what so proudly we have at the twilight last gleaming, whose broad stripes and bright stars through the perilous fight, o'er the ramparts we watched, were so gallantly streaming, and the rocket's red glare, the balls bursting in air, get through the night, that a flag was still there.
And she's not going anywhere.
Oh.
Oh, say does that star-spangled banner.